As many of you may know, I have been on a slow boat moving into my house, and I've been so stressed out about how I'm going to decorate and what is going on my hallways. Thankfully, Framebridge has come into my life. I can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store. I can't wait to visit one of their locations. I'm going to take in some of my old concert stubs so I can hang it in my office. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Ever think those fables and fairy tales from back in the day are just a little bit dusty? Wandery and Tinkercast are bringing you a new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Join host DJ Fuch and his trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as they deliver remixes of fables and folk tales, rhythm and rhymes, and fun spins on classics as old as time. Grab the whole family and get ready to groove, because they're putting the rap in Rapunzel and getting down with that funky duckling. Where hip-hop and fables meet, it's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to all episodes of Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, welcome to the Think Loud crew. Hello. Today you've got two mommies. My name is R.
And I'm Remy.
And we are going to continue our conversation of what redefining motherhood looks like for us. But first, we did a speak pipe, and we are really excited to hear back from some of our listeners to see how they are redefining motherhood or just what this looks like for them and their current chapter of life.
Yeah, this is fun. We get to expand the conversation that we've had amongst each other with y'all. Yes. So let's hear what you got to say.
So I am redefining motherhood because I am a single mother, and there is definitely a negative connotation around it, especially because I have no village. But I'm a single active duty Navy mother, and I graduate with my master's degree in 2 weeks. I do this thing all day, every day by myself, and I want there to be more positivity around strong superwomen like myself, because even though you're a single mother doing it alone, the fact that you get up and do it every day and take care of you and your child says everything. So I want to redefine motherhood by turning a single mother into having more positivity surrounding it.
You go, girl.
Congratulations, first of all.
That sounds hard.
Like,
but you're killing it.
That just made me happy.
Yeah.
I think anyone serving like as an active, being active in duty in any form of like service, whether it's Navy, military, like the Army, Marine, like that to me is very commendable. Yeah. Doing that with a child.
On your own.
I have so many more questions.
But like with no village. So you are really just carrying the full brunt and the full weight of being a mother. And I just want to say we're proud of you.
Yeah.
Because it's something that could have taken you out. Like you could have given up so long ago. You could have used the fact that you don't have a village to make excuses for yourself. But you're not. It seems like it's fueling you instead.
It's keeping you going.
Because she's getting her master's.
Yeah. Like,
go, girl.
And working on top of that. So
yeah.
I thank you for being the super mom you are. Your child is learning so much from you in these experiences. Like, not only they're seeing your worth ethic, you know, and they're seeing you just do it and accomplish such great things. And I think that those are important treasures and gems that I pray that your child receives and takes with them as they get older in terms of understanding, like, nothing is impossible and there's no one there to stop you. Like, it's literally you are in your own race, and what you decide to do in life, like, you can do it. So I love that. I also love just bringing more positivity to being a single parent. Like, it takes a lot to get up every day and do it, but it's like when you do it, it's very rewarding and it's very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. Like, I know there's days where I'm literally dragging myself along, but when I get in bed at the end of the day and I'm like, I did it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I don't know how I did it, but I did it. I'm sitting there giving myself a hug.
Yeah. Like, this kid is definitely learning resilience. And this kid is going to grow up knowing that my mom did it. I can do anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just such great ammunition to show a child that you don't have to succumb to your circumstance. You can actually use your circumstance as a ladder. Yeah. And it seems like that's what you're doing. So
keep it going.
Keep going, girlfriend.
I also pray that your village reveals itself in due time,
mm-hmm.
and that you receive, like, the reassurance and the recognition in real life, like, not just from us, but, like, that there are people who do see you, whether it's a teacher, a peer at school, a comrade at work. Like, you may not feel that you have that village, but I rest assured that there are people who do see you. Yeah. And I pray that they reveal themselves and that you, your village comes, because it's important as well.
And sometimes we have to actively seek our village. Like, in most cases, they don't just pop out of the blue and say, here I am, be my friend. Like, we have to pursue friendships just like we pursue relationships and just like we pursue careers. So you seem like you are one who has a lot of ambition. So just have that same kind of ambition when it comes to finding your village, because we are not meant to do life alone. No. And as proud as we are of you for being the amazing mother that you are and doing it alone, you're just not meant to. Like, we're not meant to carry all that by ourselves. So fun. Go out there and find your village. One or two friends is enough. It doesn't have to be this big, dramatic, like, entourage. It does not have to look like that at all. It can be simple and small and humbling, and that's all you need.
Yeah, I'm hoping once you're done with your master's in a few weeks that you'll have more time to, like, actively be more open to having a village. And making those relationships, because it's necessary. And there's, I have so many more questions in terms of, like, how old is your child? Like, you said Navy, so I think ship. Are we living on the ship? Like, are there children on the ship? Like, I just have no idea. So
of how that actually plays out.
Yeah. So if you are a mom, an active duty mother in service, like, please drop some comments down and just give us a little bit
more of a
look into what your lifestyle actually looks like. Or if we've got someone out here, I would love to bring you onto the podcast, because I think that is a side of parenting and motherhood that we don't often hear about from us, just because it's so different from our lifestyles.
Right. We're not in it, and we don't have a lot of people who we can go to for that kind of insight. Mm-hmm. So we're thankful that you brought that to our attention.
Thank you. What else do we have next? Travis? Dun, dun, dun. I feel like you've done a great job of creating a village for yourself here.
I had to be intentional about it. Like, I literally had to seek friends.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me sounded really hard, because I've always just, like, made friends easily. But I realized, like, as you're an adult, you have to be more intentional about where you're making friends, because we don't have the same type of just, like, quick access to people that we did when we were younger. Like, in school, you see the same person every day. Or when you go to the same place all the time, you just, like, naturally see people. The so how do you create community when you're not naturally in the same place all the time?
Yes, that's true.
And it was difficult, but it was so worth it. Like, it is the most worth it thing that I've done outside of course, like, you know, marriage and children. But community has saved my life. I love that. In so many ways. Like, my husband can't be my everything. He just physically cannot. Like, he doesn't have the bandwidth.
Give that man a break.
No. To be my everything. And I think sometimes when we allow one person to be our everything, that person breaks or our expectations are shattered just because, like, he was never meant to carry the weight of that.
Yeah, I totally feel that. That's very real.
Yeah. So had to go find some friends. And I still had my other friends, of course, but I was looking for a very specific type of community in that season that I was walking through.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, let's keep listening.
Hey guys, my name is Samantha Chapman. I'm from Denver, Colorado. Mm-hmm. I just want to say that I love you guys. I've been watching and listening since episode number one, but I think that redefining motherhood in my life, I have three girls and I am a bonus mom to one of those girls. So I think that being able to redefine motherhood within every child, to me is amazing. I had my first kid at, I was pregnant at 17, had her at 18. And I feel like that was a whole different time in my life. And so with each of my kids, I've had to redefine what motherhood looks like for me. So I really enjoy being able to figure out all the mom things as well as learning how to be me, simply me, because I think having a kid so young, you lose yourself so fast. But with this last kiddo, I have just been learning more about me, especially because this is my last kiddo. So I feel like now that all my kids are here, I can start to learn who the new me is. Thank you. I love you guys. And I hope you guys have an awesome.
Oh, Samantha.
Awesome day. I really like that. Well, first of all, I call my kids kiddo sometimes. So I was like, that was very endearing just to hear that word. Love her not only being a mom, but being a bonus mom as well to one of her daughters. And each time you have a kid, like, you're going to learn very soon when our next baby comes, you are going to be a different parent
to that baby.
To that baby versus how you are with Malachi.
Yeah.
And I've always heard, like, oh, yeah, each kid receives a different parent or, like, version of their mother or father. But I never truly understood what that meant.
Yeah.
Until I had my two kids. And it has inspired me to kind of redefine motherhood in different ways just because I'm like, I've had to literally grow and mature and shift with, like, the seasons that we're in.
Yeah.
And I've also had to accept, like, it's okay to be a different mom to Zaire versus a different how I was with Boz. Like, I had to forgive myself on certain things. So it's been an interesting journey. So I definitely love hearing what she said. And then also she's like, okay, this is my last kid. Now it's my time to figure out me.
Yeah, that's really powerful. I love how there's so much honesty there about how she lost herself when she had her first kid. And 18 is when you're still figuring out who you are. And so to throw in another element as monumental as being responsible for a life is a quick way to have to put yourself on the back burner because you don't have the luxury of just taking the time that you need to figure out who you are. And
especially when you don't even know what questions to even, like, really dive into to 18. Figure out who am I.
You're still figuring out the figuring out.
Yes. Like, in your mind, you're like, oh, I know what's going on. I know what I need sometimes. But it's like, no, it's not the case. So.
Yeah. And also, it's so fun to hear y'all talk about how, like, it is very real to go from parenting one way with one kid to then not only redefining parenting as a whole, but redefining parenting with each child and being okay with the differences that exist and not necessarily holding yourself to a standard because we grow too.
Yes.
You know, like, we're raising kids, but we're also learning how to be parents. And one thing that Brandon and I talked about when we first had Malachi was we have no idea what we're doing. Like, we're learning just as fast as he's growing. Yes. Like, we are winging it. We are truly winging it as parents. And all we could do is be intentional about the learnings that we're receiving and unlearn the things that we felt like weren't productive as when we were raised. There's a lot of unlearning. And honestly, I feel like just captivating like those two essences, the unlearning and the just being as intentional as you can possibly be with grace, because we're not going to know everything. Like, even when we die, there's still so much that we didn't learn.
I don't think I want to know everything. I enjoy the learning process.
Give yourself grace with parenting. And I'm pretty sure when the second kid comes along, I'll be like, oh, it's a much easier way of doing this than I thought I had to do it this whole time. Or I wish I did this with Malachi. And I can see how that guilt comes up too.
Yeah, it comes up. There's things I knew this with him. With Boz, where I was like, in retrospect, I'm like, oh my gosh, girl, you're probably just driving yourself crazy. Like, I have to do this, 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 and that. I have to teach him this, 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 and that in such a short period of time.
Yeah.
Like, for example, Boz was potty trained before he was 2.
Mm-hmm.
Zaire is about to be 2.5.
Right.
The boy is not potty trained. Not potty trained. I put him on a toilet and it's like, it's a completely different experience. Yeah. Like, he'll sit there and he'll push. He might let out a little fart and then he's like, I'm done.
He's like, ha ha.
Yeah. He's like, and then he gets off and he's like, I did it. And I'm like,
you've done nothing.
You did nothing. Like, you didn't do it. You just sat there, but you tried. So it's like, and at first I was like, oh my gosh, I'm doing horrible. Like, I'm not giving my kid the attention he needs, or I'm not doing all these things that I was once doing for my first son. But it's also like, I had to take into consideration, like, my time is being spent different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working multiple jobs right now. Like,
you also have another child.
I also have another child.
When it was Boz, it was just
the two of us. Yeah. And I was also like, I was at home. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, I'm going to be full-time mom right here.
Yeah.
And that was my focus. As many of you may know, I have been on a slow boat moving into my house, and I've been so stressed out about how I'm going to decorate and what is going on in my hallways. Thankfully, Framebridge has come into my life. I can easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store and print whatever kind of images I want for my home. Whether it's a travel souvenir, my favorite photos from my travels, or just pictures of my kids, I know it's going to get done and it's going to look good. All you have to do is upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging, or visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I can't wait to visit one of their locations. I'm going to take in some of my old concert stubs so I can hang it in my office. I love to see things that I've done and experienced in life, and they motivate me to work even harder. When you think of Framebridge, just remember it's easy and affordable to custom frame just about anything. It's fair and transparent upfront pricing based simply on the size of your item. There's a curated selection of frame styles with design experts on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame. There's fast service, free shipping, and it's great for gifts. Order online or get expert help at a retail location near you. And don't forget, happiness is guaranteed. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they'll make it right. See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com. Ever think those fables and fairy tales from back in the day are just a little bit dusty? Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a new kids and family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Join host DJ Fuch and his trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as they deliver remixes of fables and folk tales, rhythm and rhymes, and fun spins on classics as old as time. Grab the whole family and get ready to groove, because they're putting the rap in Rapunzel and getting down with that funky duckling. Where hip-hop and fables meet, it's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to all episodes of Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcast.
Also, figure out what's forming your expectation of like what a mom should look like, because that was one thing that I realized was unhealthy for me, is that I was being formed by things that I didn't realize were forming me. You know how sometimes you just look up and you're like, where did I develop this expectation?
Like, what influenced this?
So I think a part of just like redefining motherhood is figuring out what it is that you're anchoring that definition to. Like, who told you that it needs to be that way? And once we can figure out, like, oh, I was influenced by this influencer who was probably paid to tell me this, or I was influenced by this movie that is totally unreal.
Yes.
Or, but like, whatever it is, just do that deep diving and ask yourself those hard questions, and then figure out how to do the digging, because oftentimes when we get to the root, it doesn't end there. Like, we still have to like pick up the shovel and keep going, and then fill that back up with the positive things. So I had to go on a journey of all that when it came to motherhood, even before I had my child, because I wanted to make sure that I was mothering from a healthy place and mothering from a place that was influenced by, like, how can I honor God in this season of motherhood, and how can I honor my husband and not be so attached to how culture says that I need to parent?
I like that.
And that was so hard for me, because I don't really see stay-at-home moms. And I always see the moms who are working 5 jobs and doing it all and just like somehow appearing to be like that superwoman, and then also handling everything at home. And I was just like, I don't really know if that's the trajectory that I'm supposed to go in this season.
I can relate to that. I feel like for me, as I became a mom, like, my perspective was like via my mother, my grandmother, like my sister, she was a mom before me, and like a few select friends. Yeah. And then, of course, you have online.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of, oh, do this, don't do that, or it's very confusing.
Yeah.
It can be very confusing. So in terms of like that unlearning process and like relearning, I really did my best to try to stay away from like social media and certain things, or I was very specific about what I would be looking at. And I decided to like try and do better in like real life versus like online. So I found some classes, like I took parenting classes, and some of them were like things where I was like, okay, I'm really curious about this, and like I wanted to learn how to incorporate some of these things into my life. So I took a nurturing parenting class. And it's actually like an evidence-based program. Like, at first, a lot of people were like, oh, that's like gentle parenting or that's soft parenting. And I was like, no, it isn't, actually.
Yeah.
Like, you hear all these terms online that people don't really know
what they're saying.
What they're saying, or what they mean, or what the principles are. So
they've like redefined it themselves, but don't tell us that that's their definition.
That's their definition.
Yeah, and not like the real definition.
So it's like I took this class and I was able to really differentiate, like, oh, what do I want to take online versus, oh, here are some evidence-based practices, or not clinicals, but like, here's the research.
Yeah.
You know, here are people who've, like, doctors and moms and families who've really taken the time to do the research and to do the digging for us, because sometimes we don't have the time to do the digging ourselves.
Yeah. But so it's we have to know who to trust.
How do you decipher who to trust and who not to trust as we are learning how to parent and redefine our parenting? So I love that you bring that up. But if anyone's interested, go look at a nurturing parenting class.
Yeah.
It teaches you about, like, how to have healthy expectations, how to discipline versus, like, corporal punishment, teaching your children how to deal with their bodies and, like, you know, what's appropriate versus not appropriate. And it helps give you the language as a parent to communicate. Because sometimes you're like, hey, I want to teach my kid this, but, like, how do I say this in, like, a way that they are going to receive, or how do I even formulate these thoughts? You know, you see so much online. So
yeah, that's good. I love that. There's this one resource that I can't recommend enough. It's called Raising Emotionally Strong Boys. And I read that while I was pregnant, and it's time to pull it out again because Malachi's at the tantrum phase.
Ooh, have fun. I want to get this book. Where
his tantrums are so fake. Like, he falls out on the ground, and then he, like, looks around, and I'm like, Malachi, I'm not doing this with you right now. Like, you're not even really upset. You just want the attention from it. And I'm that mom who's like, baby, what's the matter? Like, just all the drama. Mm-hmm. And Brandon's like, you're feeding into it. Like, he's bringing you into that moment. And the book talks a lot about that, about how the when the child is having a tantrum, they need you to experience it with them. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that they control you. So it's like, how do we not, like, how do we still nurture our kid, but not let them think that every single time they have a tantrum, that that is something that I need to be involved in. So I'm just now getting to the point where I can just step over him while he's having the tantrum and look at his face and wait for him to go, like, is she looking at me? And I know you're not really having a tantrum, you just want attention. So then it's like, Malachi, what's the problem, baby? Like, what's really wrong?
I love that
you're not upset about anything.
Taking the time to read and do these things versus just being like, get up, stop, blah, blah, blah. Like,
see, that is one thing that Brandon and I have been trying our hardest to not emulate. Because, like, even today, Malachi was crying and Brandon was like, and I was trying to figure out what was wrong with him. And Brandon's like, I just had a flashback to my childhood when I would hear people say, stop crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. And he's like, that is just so toxic.
The language is mean.
Like, if the baby is crying, then he clearly thinks he has something to cry about in the first place. So instead of saying, like, I'll give you something to cry about, let them get it out their system and then talk to them when they're calm.
Yes.
And the way in which, like, culture has, like, not even just, like, today's culture, but the way in which our ancestors parented, like, a lot of it's out of trauma.
Yes.
And when you parent out of trauma, like, when you don't heal, when you don't do the work to heal your wounds, you end up passing trauma down.
Yes.
You end up passing your hurt down and your anger down. Next thing you know, you have this angry kid who's actually never been through anything. He's just taking on the anger of the parents.
Yes.
And that, to me, like, we had that conversation today and we're like, we will not do that to our kid. And of course, we'll make different mistakes, the ones that we don't know to unlearn because it hasn't been something that we directly lived. You won't know
until you face it sometimes.
But the ones that we have faced, it's our responsibility to do the work to not do that to our kids.
I love that. I love it. I love it. It's like you're not just redefining, like, motherhood for yourself, but you have a partner. Your husband is also, like, having these same kind of thoughts and being like, hey, you know what? Maybe this is something I experienced and I want to do it differently. Yeah. So I think that balance is really, really beautiful. Yeah. And I'm happy that you guys are doing this together.
It's exciting.
I love it. Okay, let's go to our next speak pipe.
Oh, wait. But Samantha, we're proud of you.
Oh, yes. Keep going.
For redefining motherhood, and not only redefining motherhood, but taking that time to redefine Samanthahood.
Yeah. And also, being a bonus parent.
Oh, yeah.
I think that in itself is like a whole other layer of redefining motherhood. Would love to bring on a bonus parent. Like, love to do it. Love to do it. Okay, let's see what we got.
I am redefining motherhood as far as you always hear, your parents can't be your friend. I love my kids. I love them. They are my friends. I have a 23-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 15-year-old. And especially with a 23, that's my dog. I mean, so I am redefining that. I think that it's okay. Of course, you should have your boundaries. Of course, they know. But when you have that friendship, they respect what it is. So I am definitely redefining that. My children are my friends.
How do you feel about that, Rem? Do you feel like...
You know what? I wish I had a photographic memory because in that same book, what's it called? Raising Emotionally Strong Boys. They talk about the stages mm-hmm. of parenthood and how, like, when your child is young, you're not friends. And mm-hmm. they need to understand that boundary. They need to know that, like, this person is here to protect, lead, and guide me. Yes. Also, like, love and nurture and all the sweet stuff, too. But a friend is typically your equal.
Yes.
So it gets to a point where biblically your child is to leave and cleave. At that point you become friends. Like at that point, once your child is no longer under the authority mm-hmm. of you, like then you can become friends. But when there is that relationship that exists where it's like, no, you have a bedtime.
Yes.
You have, I still have my to rules. School feed you. Yes. You live in my home. So like there is that difference of I am your parent mm-hmm. because as a parent, you're not there to give them all like the friendly feelings no. and the friendly advice. You're there to give them the hard truths.
You're like,
too.
I'm here to teach you. I'm yeah. here to raise you. I'm here to help you learn how to make decisions.
I'm here to be the bad guy.
The difference sometimes. Between right and wrong. Yeah. And it's not always fun. Yeah. There's times where Boz and I will be joking around and playing and then he'll take it too far. And I'm like, hey,
I'm not your friend.
I'm not your friend.
I'm your mother.
Literally, I'm your mom. This is a moment where I need you to understand the dynamic here. Like, we're not the same age. We've mm-hmm. not had the same experiences. Yeah. Like, I need you to just listen and right. just do your best to just be an active listener right now.
Right. We're not going to negotiate right yeah. now.
So it's like, you know, I've got my 5-year-old who sometimes is like, but you are my friend.
Like,
you're my mom, you should think but that you're sometimes. My friend too. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll take it. But I totally understand that difference.
Yeah.
When it comes to my mom and I feel like in my 20s, there was like a shift mm-hmm. where it went from me just solely being her daughter to being like, oh, wow. Like, we started to talk more and my mom was more confident in finding her voice in like her second marriage and things. And it really allowed us to like dive in and have conversations where yeah. it was like, okay, there's a different understanding here. Mm-hmm. Now it's not just like a mother-daughter dynamic, but it's like,
yeah,
there was a friendship that was developed.
It was a different level of like vulnerability that yes. could exist.
When she was like, yeah. my 23-year-old is my dog. Like,
yeah, you felt that.
I felt that. Like yeah. there's times where even my mom would be like, am I telling you too much? Mm-hmm. Or like, you know, what are the boundaries? Like, we've had to establish different boundaries over the year mm-hmm. as we redefine, like, our relationship, as we've redefined what we're both, as we're both being mothers now, yeah. it's completely different.
Yeah.
But that's I definitely important, felt that.
The both being mothers. I feel like with my mom, I'd always seen her as a friend. But I think if she also saw me as a friend, she would not have been an effective parent. Hmm. Because as a friend, you want to appease them and you kind of want to like get into trouble with them. And, yes. you know, I just think that a parent is a very particular role and there is space for friendship, but that's not the. And of course, this is like the stage where you're still being parented, like yes. intentionally being raised like as a child. I'm not talking mm-hmm. about where we are now. But if she took the role of my friend when I wanted to spend a night at boys' houses, then that would have been detrimental for my future. And yes. if she would have taken the role as friend when I wanted to experiment with alcohol, that would have been detrimental mm-hmm. to my future. So I think, like, as I grew up, like, right now, we're friends. And it's a mutual friendship. Sometimes she wants to parent, and I'll politely say, like, hey, Mom, I'm also, like, I got this. Like, she'll try to tell me what to do with Malachi.
Thanks
and
for nothing.
And I never, like, shut her down because I still believe in honoring my mom regardless of how much I see her as a friend. But sometimes we do have to, you know, understand that we are parents now.
Yes.
And I don't need to be parented. If I need advice, you will be the first to know. But allow me to make the mistakes that I need to make as a parent. Mm-hmm. And pick me up when I fall.
I like how you said, like, you're not always here to be parented, but, like, yeah. you may seek advice. Mm-hmm. Like, I think once I learned that difference as well, mm-hmm. I was able to communicate it better and be like, yeah. hey, you know what? I don't need you to lecture me right now. I just need you to, like, listen to me right now as right. I'm, like, trying to process or work this out as I am discovering my footing as parenting, you yeah. know? And I think that's actually strengthened our relationship.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, that's one of the reasons why Brandon and I decided to not have our parents come when we first had the baby. Mm-hmm. Because we had no idea how to be parents, but we know our parents did really well at being parents. And that they would come in here telling us what to do. And they can, they have the experience to say, I've done this and y'all are alive and we can't argue
that. We kept y'all alive.
Right, we can't argue that. But like, we wanted to have the space to fail so that we can establish our own ego system of parenting.
I like that.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
In my next relationship, like, I do want another child. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is something that I would like to bring into, like, my marriage or, like, my household, where it's like, okay, I leaned on my family so much due to my circumstances, or like, my family was so involved due to like circumstances. But like, when it really comes down to it, I want it to be like me, my man, our kids.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure out what this looks like for us. And then I'll have like a little sip and see or something like, exactly. You know, where you can come see the baby and like, kind of see our dynamic and how everything is
fall into that.
Yes.
Not us falling into your expectation of how we should parent.
Yes.
100%.
Because it'll be other children involved. Like, you know, there's a whole other parent now involved.
Yeah.
And it's not going to look like how it looked before.
Right.
And it's not going to feel how it felt before. Yeah. And like, it could be completely different. And I feel like I will be in such a space where I'm like, look, I don't want any judgment. Mm-hmm. I'm not here to be chastised. I'm not here to be corrected. Yeah. Like, we're figuring this out. And like you said, allow us to fail.
Right.
I think that is a really big, I love that. Sometimes you have to allow parents to fail. So when they know what not to do.
Exactly.
'Cause like, you will get that result and you'll be like,
That was a terrible idea.
Oops. Yeah, like, I shouldn't have played with the fire. Yeah. Like, my bad.
That was awful. I shouldn't have done that.
But then it's like, if you don't have those experiences, you don't really know what you're redefining or what you're defining as you develop or mature in your parenthood and whatnot. But one last thing on the friendship. Sometimes I do at Boz, I'm like, look, I'm going to be your friend because I want you to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not because we're buddy-buddy and right. you get to talk to me how you talk to the kids on the playground.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you how you the kids talk to you on the playground.
Like, right.
They're still like, I'm your mother, you're my son. But mm-hmm. I'm like, I do want there to be an open door policy between us to where mm-hmm. he feels comfortable to come to me and like, speak his mind or yeah. be like, hey, mom, this is how I'm feeling. And it's the same thing with Ryder.
Yeah.
You know, there's times where it's like with Ryder, I'm like, I'm your aunt, but like, I'm also this non-judgmental, like, safe space
mm-hmm.
where it's like, you know, I ain't your friend yet.
Yeah.
But like, I will treat this space as like our, us laying some foundation to what our friendship can look like one day.
When you're older.
Yes. Yeah. And there's times where she's like, you know what, auntie, like, I want to tell you this, but I'm just not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, you know what, Ryder, like, this is, if you do share with me, like, it stays between us.
Mm-hmm.
If you share something with me and it's, you know, not harmful, like, I won't tell your mom or your dad. Like,
yeah.
I'll only tell your parents if it is
life like, or death.
Yes. Like, if it is something where it's like, hey, you know what, this is actually a serious problem.
Yeah.
Like, just establishing like a different sense of trust. So, mm-hmm. and it's really sweet because now she'll be like, hey, auntie, like, can I tell you this? And I'm like, yes. And then she'll tell me, we'll have a conversation about it.
And she knows she can trust
and
you.
And she knows she can trust me. And
that's a good part.
To me, I'm like, that's very important. Yeah. Like,
it's vital. Like, to have that kind of relationship with the little people, like for mm-hmm. you, it's your niece and your children. With Malachi, I always like, want to be that person that he comes and talks to. Like, I don't want to position it as like you're going to get away with it because yeah. you're not, if it's something that
there
you're not supposed to be doing.
Yes.
And I think like that's the hard part is like I want to know what that looks like. You've probably been in more instances than I have because Malachi can't tell me full sentences yet, but I wonder like how does it look to establish that trust. Like, Brandon and I always say, if Malachi ends up drunk at the club or whatever, and God forbid, but if he ends up like drunk at the club and one of his friends gets in trouble and then they end up somewhere they're not supposed to be, like, we want to be that first call, mm-hmm. but we don't want to set the expectation that just because you called us that you're not in trouble, because mm-hmm. there's still consequences. And I think it's doing our children a disservice to set up the expectation, like, just because you told me, you're not going to have to be responsible or have any accountability. So, like, how do you still convince your children to, like, for you to be the first call, still understanding that, like, you made a mistake.
Yeah.
And
so
there is real life consequences for mistakes.
For us, for Cheyenne and I growing up, we had like an open door policy in that sense where it was like, if you ever are in trouble, if you're ever in a place where it's like you need to leave, like, call home.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And it 10 times out of 10, I don't think we did get in trouble because we would come home or we would say, they would come pick us up and be like, mom,
yeah,
guess what they were doing? But I didn't do it, you know? It would be like, hey, I remember this one time, this was like maybe like 11th grade, 12th grade, like it was like older. And I didn't like do drugs or anything. Like, I was super square.
Yeah.
I was an athlete.
I can't see that.
I didn't drink alcohol. Like, I was always the DD. Like, my friends would call me and be like, hey, I'm drunk, or hey, I don't know where I am, but can you get me? And I remember one time I went out and I wasn't driving,
mm-hmm.
and the driver was smoking some consuming cannabis. And I was like, and mind you, she was gonna drive her mom's minivan. And I was like, nah, like,
bad idea.
Not doing this. And it was literally like, oh, we're gonna just go two blocks to go to like In-N-Out or something. And I was like, I'm not getting in that car.
Mm-mm.
I remember calling my mom. I didn't have the address to the house.
Yeah.
I just knew the cross. I was like, hey, I'm in this area and there's mm-hmm. an In-N-Out. And my mom found me and picked me up. And I went and didn't get in trouble. But
you
it was
weren't
like
the one who did anything.
I wasn't
though.
The one, but
yeah.
there's been multiple instances like that where it was like, or I came, I would come home early and be like, I don't know what was going on. They're acting crazy. But I gotta go. Yeah. So it was,
I was in some situations like that where I wasn't the one, so I wasn't afraid to call. I'm trying to think of like if I was the one, but I think I led a pretty straight lifestyle as a kid because I was a people pleaser, something that I didn't realize until very recently. But
isn't it crazy?
I struggled with people pleasing, especially for my parents. And so I don't think I would like do things to get in trouble. Like even when I got bad grades in school, I was like bribing the teacher so my parents wouldn't find out.
Stop, Remy.
But I was like, can I please just take this test again? My mom's going to kill me if I get anything less than an A minus. Like, please don't let me take this home. And then I think the drama just overwhelmed the teachers and they're like, okay, it's fine. But but yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to think more about that. I'm going to ask my mom, actually, if there was a time when I was the one in trouble and I called and like how that worked out. But there wasn't a time that I could think of where I called and I was condemned for it. Like my mom always appreciated the fact that I called her. Mm-hmm. But then again, I wasn't the one who like went to jail or I wasn't the one who, you know.
I know what you mean. Yeah. It was like. Yeah, I don't feel like there's ever been situations where I'd be like, hey, I actually really...
Yeah, hey, I need help burying this body, Mom. Like, what, girl?
Maybe once. Yeah. It wasn't a body. I'm trying to think. And I actually called Dave now that I remember my moment.
You're like,
I called Dave. I was like, look, Dave.
I would probably call Dave, too.
I need someone who's going to be, like, emotionally sound right now. Yeah. And this is the situation. And he came, and everything was fine. And I went home, and everything was fine. It was like there was no issue. But I was like, thank God for those bonus parents at times to be that, like,
barrier. But see, now that I'm thinking about it, this does not make him your friend. So we're still back there.
I was
the answer to it. It's that you can still confide in your parents without thinking that they're your best friend. Like, it doesn't take that. It actually just takes respect and trust.
Oh, no. And that was a moment.
I'm calling out of
respect, trust, and you being one of my parents. Yeah. Like, hey,
and I need you.
I need you.
In this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even think about my mom or my dad in that moment, my bio parents. I was like, calling Dave.
Calling Dave.
Calling Dave.
So. He has them. He's the most level-headed in the situation.
Yes. To our listeners, if you have any, like, thoughts on this, definitely want to hear from y'all. And just kind of, like, if you've had that experience or that shift in, like, change or balance with your children or with your parents in terms of, like, where does that parenting and friendship overlap, or does it overlap? Or even the shift, like, I don't think we've entered this phase of our lives yet, just because our parents are still, like, able-bodied and, like, they're married, they have their partners, but there's going to be a time where our parents, we become the parents to our parents, you know?
They're going to need to rely on us.
Yes.
Like, so we relied on them.
I'm just, like, so sweet. Praying for that. Give us more time. But yeah, just when does that shift? When has it happened for you? Is it at a certain age? Is it a certain time of understanding? Has it been due to your circumstances? You know, I feel like there's times where Boz and I have more in-depth conversations because it is just the two of us at times.
Yeah.
Versus if Dad was there full time, maybe we wouldn't have to have some of these conversations. So it's... What does it look like for you guys? I'm really curious to
dive deeper. Yeah, yes. This is a good conversation that I want to spend some time thinking about, too. Just like going on future thinking, I know that we want our household to be a safe place and for it to be judgment free. But also, you're not free from the boundaries that you have to
abide
by. Like, boundaries are set in place to protect us, and I wish I realized that sooner, but that's one thing I want Malachi to understand, is that, like, boundaries aren't there to keep you from living your best life. It's actually to protect you from your own self.
Keep you safe.
So, like, just finding the language to let them understand it, because one thing that wasn't that prevalent for both Brandon and I growing up is the language. Like, it was just because I said so sometimes.
Yes.
And my mom wasn't really a because I said so person, but it's not like she sat me down to be like, and here is why you can't do this, and here is why you can't. Like, she didn't have time for that. She was a working mom. And I just want to, like, make sure that my kid knows that he's not following the rules to not upset me, because that's what I thought. Mm-hmm. And then when I got on my own, I was like, ah, because I followed the rules so I wouldn't upset my parents. And that's not sustainable whatsoever. So I think when we have the personal conviction to say or to allow our children to understand this boundary is set in place to protect you from mm-hmm. being influenced. It's to protect you from your own flesh mm-hmm. and the things that you think you desire, but you really don't have the knowledge to understand that that is completely unhealthy for you. And to just talk them through the thought process behind the boundary and yes. not just give the boundary.
So when I took my nurturing parenting class, this is something that came up. Mm-hmm. And it's what are your house rules? What are your family rules, morals, and values?
Yeah.
And it's as my boys are, Boz is now 5, Zaire's 2. These are things that I took that class maybe a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I've been jotting down to really start and figure out, how do I want to form my house? Not that these were just my thoughts then, but it was, what is the language?
Yeah.
And as I'm getting more familiarized with how I want the language to be presented to them or mm-hmm. how I want to teach them things, I'm going to make, as we move into our new house, it'll be okay, when we move, these are our house rules. Mm-hmm. These are our house rules to protect ourselves, yep. to protect our flesh, to take care of our body. But mm-hmm. these are also our house rules in terms of how do we treat others? How do we give and show respect to others?
Exactly.
How do we show tolerance and acceptance?
Yeah.
And it's, these are, I think, important conversations to have, especially as we are defining our yeah. space in motherhood and what it looks like for us in our homes.
Right. So. I love that so much. You're you're creating your own ecosystem, mm-hmm. your own community. And to do that within your home, just to create that structure, I feel is so beneficial for children.
It is. And it helps me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely
it helps me full circle. So much.
Yeah.
It really, really helps. And it's for me to take the time and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
Now it helps me when Boz, say, for example, has a tantrum
yeah.
or has a moment of chaos. It's hey, we talked about this. What did we talk about? And he's okay. And it's the tantrums have gone a little bit shorter. Sometimes, he's just in his feels. He's yeah. very emotional.
Yeah, mine is too already.
Very emotional. And I'm woo. And I say I want a daughter. The girls are even more emotional. I'm yes. Am I crazy? A little bit, maybe. I'm here for the challenge. I'm here for it. But it's it helps him, and then it also helps me, because mm-hmm. it's I'm not sitting there oh my gosh, what do I do? What do I say? Yeah. It's, hey, I understand you've got some big emotions right now. Let's figure them out, because our kids don't know how to regulate their emotions at this time.
They don't have the language either.
They don't.
Yeah.
They literally don't. They are not able to.
We're barely able. Sometimes Brandon's what's wrong? I'm I don't know. I just don't know.
The tears are just coming.
Give me a moment. Let me journal, figure it out, then we can talk. But as an adult, sometimes we still don't know what's really bothering us.
No.
So to expect that of a child is unrealistic. And I think the mm-hmm. sooner we realize that, the sooner we're able to give them the tools
yes.
to get through these emotions more effectively in a way that is actually helping them
yes.
instead of a way that's get over it.
Get over
what
it.
Are you, crying
you better stop
about?
Crying or I'm going to
get,
like
that
you
is
said,
so unhealthy.
Stop crying. I'm going to give you something to cry about.
No.
What?
That is trauma.
That's I don't believe in raising children out of fear.
No.
I think people are always oh, you better put the fear in them. They're going to be bigger than you or this and that. And I'm
no.
okay, I hear you, but I also feel there are other ways to phrase that
yeah.
or to go about that. Because it's if that was the case, the world would be working different,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. I think all that does is allow kids to do things in secret. When they're so afraid
yes,
of you,
yes.
they end up retreating from you.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing you want is to have a household where no one talks because everyone's too afraid
I
of
can't even
upsetting
imagine what
you.
That feels like.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely terrible. I don't want that for my household either. It's all so layered. But I think the important part is just being intentional about establishing home, establishing, mm-hmm. just we're talking about redefining parenting, that another layer of that is redefining home.
Home,
and
yes.
What
does it look
what do you want home to mm-hmm. feel like? How do you want to feel every single day when you go into your home? Mm-hmm. And what is the atmosphere you want to set for your children while you're all there during the day?
Yep.
So just like putting those things in place, I think is just such a great recipe for
love it.
Flow. You know, like just for a good, positive, healthy flow where just everyone happiness. Is thriving, where there's joy, where there's laughter, mm-hmm. where there's giggles and just fun.
Y'all, they're having a good time at the Bobo house. Do you want to do a WTF or share some words of advice?
Dang, I should have thought about this. I always forget. You know what? I want to always do both, but I'll do the WTF because I've never done that one.
I have one too.
And this is so funny to me because we've been potty training, but I didn't really look at it as potty training. Honestly, I just wanted to try some pull-ups by Coterie. So to me, I was like, this is my opportunity. I totally like created an opportunity to potty train and I didn't have any expectations of it mm-hmm. whatsoever. But my son takes off his diaper and pees on the floor or he'll poop on the floor. And I'm just like, okay, maybe you are ready because you clearly know how to do this.
He knows when to take it off.
He's 16 months and this was happening when he was 15 months. So we put him in the pull-ups and my mom got him some boxer draw. She calls them draws. I don't know what kind of old school word that is, but got him some boxers, brief things. I don't know what to call them.
Some chonies.
So cute.
He got some undies.
And he like took it down one day. He took them off. He didn't want to wear them, but he stands on his potty because he's a boy and he likes to do dangerous things. So I was in the kitchen doing the dishes and I'm like, Monica, pee-pee on the potty, pee-pee on the potty. And he's just like standing on the potty and sitting on it and standing and sitting. And I forget that he's over there. So I see him about to like fully face plant because he was standing on the top of the potty and it's tilting. So I'm running over to grab him and I look in the potty and it's poop in there. And I was so excited.
He
pooped in the potty without any help. And I want to take credit and say how I'm a great mom because my kid poops in the potty. But, like, I can't take any credit. I was washing dishes and he almost died in the process.
You can take credit. So, you like, gave him the tools. He has the potty.
In the potty.
Go, Malachi.
And I was like, I guess he didn't have to pee. So I'm cleaning up and I'm, like, sweeping. And I find a pile of pee. This is hours later near the door, near the front door. I'm like, okay. So we're not there yet.
No, but still, that's progress.
He pooped in the potty.
I think that's great.
And then almost face planted into the dresser because he moves his potty into the living room.
I think that's great. My WTF also has to do with some potty training and poop, but it wasn't as pleasant. It was not as pleasant. I haven't really had like crazy poop horror stories. Like I felt like a few blowouts, but it's been years at this point. And the other day, Zaire was hiding behind the chair in the curtain like, no, like,
don't come.
Like, go away. He's been calling me Mamiya lately. Like, Mommy. He was like, go away, Mamiya. And I'm like, okay, this boy's really going. Uh-huh. So then he'll be like, okay, I pooped. And he'll, like, do a little dance. Like, I'm
You're
done.
Like, that's not the spot.
Yeah, and I'm like, no, toilet, bro. So I'm going to change him. I pull his, he had some like polo pant jeans on.
Oh my God.
There was poop all inside the jeans.
Oh my God.
All up his leg and his thigh and the knee crease.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, I gotta get this dude on the toilet like ASAP.
Cause now it's a lot of poop.
It was everywhere.
Oh my
God. It was like, I threw the pants away. I was like, I'm not washing these poop. Like, I can't play with poop jeans right now.
Yeah, you're like, this is too much.
And it was one of those moments where at first I beat myself up because I was like, Kyle, get it together. Like, get your kid on the toilet. I was in the mirror like Issa Rae, like, but not lifting myself up. I was like, get your kid on the toilet. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But, we keep putting him on the toilet. Poop. He wakes up with a dry diaper. So I'm like, you're ready to use the bathroom. And we'll put him on the, Boz and I Nothing every happens. Morning. Boz is like, come on, brother. And he puts him on the toilet. Like, Boz has been such a stellar big brother.
Yeah.
But, that poop moment really was like eye opening for me. So
you're like, we're going to get this.
Oh yeah. At this point I'm like,
This is grown man poop at this point.
It was a lot. It was very confusing. I just didn't understand how it got out of his, like,
pull diaper. Up was like, onto all the other things.
Yeah, it was wild. It was wild. But, you know, we're still working on it. It's work on progress. I've been having to give myself some grace. Like, I've been in my working mom, not let me sit here and play with my baby all day mom bag, which I miss. But,
but there's seasons.
Yes,
and it
there
changes.
Are.
And also just like being open to the seasons.
Yep.
Changing.
I think you've made me more open to the seasons and actually defining my seasons, which I think could be a whole conversation a whole other day.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great. But so happy y'all chimed in with us today.
This was fun.
We're going to have to do another episode with Cheyenne and Shannon and listen to more Speak Pipes, because we do want to continue to hear from y'all in terms of how you are redefining, or how do you define motherhood or parenting in the season that you're in. Thank you guys for chiming in with us and tuning in and watching us. As always, you can find us at Think Loud Crew on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube. And you can find me on Instagram and Snapchat at @RKyleLynn.
And you can find me on Instagram at Remy Chantel Bobo.
Woo! And don't forget to tell your crew about our crew. Have a good week, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.